Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk Chicago's 8th podcast. I am John Zagluel. I am the founder and I'm owner of this website. And I'd just like to say thank you for tuning in again. We are very sorry we haven't been doing many podcasts as of late, but we have been posting recent articles, so make sure to check those out when you get a chance. Make sure to check this out, too. Follow us on Twitter at ShyTalkSports. We'd always love new followers. We already have over 300 as of right now. And also leave us some feedback on our new articles and podcasts. Tell us how we're doing because we really love to improve. We really, you know, feast off of feedback from you guys, the viewers. So some big news today. Starting out, we're going to start out with the Chicago Bears. Patrick Manley, the long snapper for the Bears, who is the longest tenured Bear at the moment, has played 16 years. He has just announced his retirement today. This is out of Bears OTAs happening in Lake Forest, Illinois. And just because Manley was a long snapper, many of you probably don't, you know him, so I'll give you a little bio on him. He immediately took over the long snapping duties as a rookie in 1998, and he had 2,282 long snaps during his NFL career. Manley also was very rarely ever on the bench. He only missed a total of 11 games throughout his NFL career. He was voted by his teammates and coaches as the Bears special teams captain every year since the year of 2008. And he was also chosen as the 2013 Ed Block Courage Award recipient by his teammates. Here's a quote from General Manager Phil Emery. "Although I have deep respect for Pat's decision, I'm saddened by it because we are going to lose an extremely high-level leader who had an impact on our team." And, you know, Manley was truly, he was a leader. You know, he was a veteran presence there. He really helped almost coach, really, the Bears special teams. Like I already said, he was a captain since 2008 of all the special teams. He was such a great guy. He was such a, you know, nice person. I met him last year at Bears training camp. Very stand-up guy. And we wish him all the best on his years forward in retirement. We also have some more Bears roster moves to report on. The Bears on Thursday terminated the contract of defensive lineman Israel Adonijay, and they waived quarterback Jared Johnson, safety Sean Kethouse, and tight end Fendi Anabon. The team also signed defensive end Jamil Merrill and linebacker Connor O'Neill to undrafted rookies. So Adonijay, I'm sure you remember him. He's played with the Bears from 2004 to 2012. Then he played for the Lions last year. He re-signed with the Bears in March, and they already got rid of him before the season even started. So that just proves how Adonijay is probably almost done, and he could also be retiring soon, just like Manley. He's a very active community guy, but it didn't really help him on the field. Fendi Anabon actually came in last year, you know, really an underdog to actually make the team. He made it, and he ended up being a second, third string tight end that saw some time, you know, on the field in the games, and he ended up being cut as well. So early moves here by the Bears, hopefully it'll set them up for a good season, despite some of these hard moves that management has had to make. And also another quick news story here, Eric Weems is going to compete to become the new returner for the Bears. He didn't return kicks or punts on a regular basis, but that doesn't mean he's a novice at the job. He's 5'9" and 195 pounds, and remember, he was voted to the Pro Bowl in 2010 for his special teams efforts. Because of Devin Hester, as you all know, he has gone to the Atlanta Falcons, and now it's going to be all Eric Weems, and hopefully he can do it because, you know, even on video games and in real life, this guy's a very good return man, and he's often, you know, overlooked. And he was overlooked with Hester, you know, behind the helm taking those kicks. Now, you know, he has a chance to really prove himself here and, you know, win that starting job. So that's it for Bears news. Oh, and one more thing. Training camp, Bears training camp begins in 34 days. We're going to move on now to some Chicago Bulls news. Now, as you know, Joakim Noah has been having a great offseason. He has won NBA Defensive Player of the Year. He has also been named to the NBA All-Defensive Team and the All-NBA First Team. So he has been having a heck of an offseason, and he had a heck of a season. Noah, who appeared in 80 of 82 Chicago's games, he ranked 6th in the NBA in rebounding at 11.3 a game, 12th in blocks at 1.51 a game, and he added 1.24 steals a game. He was one of just three players to average at least 10 rebounds, 1.5 blocks, and 1.2 steals. So he had such a great year. And another big news here, Jimmy Butler was also named to the NBA All-Defensive Team as well with Joakim Noah. So, some good accolades here for two players who have been overlooked because of Derrick Rose, but now that Derrick Rose has been hurt for the past 2 years, these guys have really gotten their chances to, you know, shine and have their big moments under the spotlight. Also, not as much news for the Bulls, but we have some trade rumors swirling around, or, you know, acquisition rumors. First of all, Carmelo Anthony has been seriously considering coming here to Chicago. We don't know for sure what he's going to do, but he has Chicago on his bucket list of teams, you know, meet with and see what he likes. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not really a big fan of Carmelo coming here, mainly because he has so many issues with, you know, himself and him being the number one player, and with him and Derrick Rose, it may be more of a civil war on the court than, you know, the Bulls just trying to win games. And I think that's the problem that the Bulls are going to face with getting him. Now, I'm a guy who would love to see Kevin Love come here to the Bulls because he's another big guy that the Bulls could use at a power forward or even a small forward and have Gibson start as a power forward and Noah as a center. They have three big guys, all guys who could score, and Love could also shoot threes probably better than mostly every player on the Bulls team right now. So that would be, you know, I think a smart acquisition. You could also let me know, email me, info@sportstalkchicago.com, or comment, tell me which one or which player you would like to see the Bulls, you know, acquire over the offseason, because there are a lot to choose from, especially in this offseason. Next, we're going to move on to the Chicago Blackhawks, and we have some actually acquisition news for the Hawks. They have announced today that they have agreed to terms with forward Dennis Rasmussen on a one-year contract. He is 23, he's Swedish, he had 40 points in 52 games with the Swedish Hockey League last year. He led the team and ranked 10th in the league in points, while ranking 2nd on the team in goals and assists. He has posted 85 points in 149 career SHL games. He has also appeared for Sweden in an international competition, helping Sweden to win a bronze medal at the 2014 World Championships. So Rasmussen, a nice little move that the Blackhawks made. I'm sure they always need some new guys, and especially now it's during the offseason. We don't know if we're going to keep Patrick Sharp due to the fact that his contract is going to be way too much for the Hawks to provide. This is a nice little insurance here that the Hawks got. Also, some big headline news just announced today, the Blackhawks have been selected as an opponent against the Capitals in the 2014 Winter Classic, or 2015 Winter Classic. The Capitals are supposed to be the host, and I guess the Blackhawks have been selected to face them in Washington. So that is going to be such a great experience again for the Hawks. Remember, the Hawks hosted themselves a Winter Classic in 2010. They participated in one just this past year. Now they're going to do it for the second consecutive year in a row. So, you know, a good thing for them. And as far as the Hawks go, not much headlines for them. They've been keeping it pretty quiet since they got eliminated by the LA Kings in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Next on our agenda, we have some Chicago Cubs news. The Cubs currently have a 30-40 record. They are out of the division by about 11 games, but they are out of the wild card by about 8. And you know what? To be honest with you, they are doing better than many expected at this point in the year. They do not have the worst record in the National League, and as far as in the MLB as a whole, they do not have the worst record. They're actually doing okay. And some other quick news about the Cubs. Cubs prospect Chris Bryant has been promoted already to AAA. He's been doing great with AA already. He's been leading at the time of his promotion, leading all categories at AA Tennessee. He's batting .355 with 22 home runs and 58 RBIs. So good for him. Good for the Cubs as far as the future for the Cubs. You know, obviously it's going to be good. I've kept reiterating this phrase already. Just got to wait for 2016 or 2017, and the Cubs could actually end up being another big powerhouse in the National League. Some other quick news regarding the Cubs, some, you know, little bit of headlines here. The Cubs in general as a team have been pretty hot. I mean, with that win they won on Wednesday against Miami, they finished their 10-game road trip at .500, and they have won consecutive road series for the first time since taking 2 of 3 games in both Milwaukee and Seattle from June 25th through 30th from last season. So the Cubs actually, you know, feeling it. As the weather is heating up, so is the team itself. And that's very good to see. You know, the team is starting to gel. The only problem with that is there are some big trade rumors coming out about Jeff Samardzija, as well as the Cubs' other phenom, Jason Hamill. Both pitchers have been reportedly on the trade block since game one almost of the year, and Samardzija may be actually dealt by the trade deadline, along with Hamill, who signed a one-year $10 million deal, or $5 million deal, earlier in the offseason. So I just wanted to say that both pitchers have been having heck of a years so far. Hamill last year was actually injured for most of it, came back this year, has an ERA just around 3, and he's like 6-3, so he's having quite a year. Samardzija, as we all know, has just been fantastic so far, one of the NL League leaders, or near the top there, in strikeouts. So both pitchers are very good. They've been doing well for the Cubs, but the problem is they could be traded for more young talent, and I have to say, it's looking inevitable at this point that they will be traded. Anyways, for the Cubs, today, Friday, June 20th, the Cubs start off a three-game series at Wrigley against the Pirates. Today's game starts at 3:05. Tonight, it will be Edwin Jackson for the Cubs, 4-7 with a 5.11 ERA, versus Charlie Morton of the Pirates, who also has a 4-7 record, but has an only 3.09 ERA, so that just proves that Morton, not a lot of run support from his team. Keep in mind, last time that Morton faced the Cubs, he really shut him down, and the Pirates ended up winning that game. We're going to move on now to the other side of town, the South Side, talk about some White Sox baseball news. Now, the Sox are in a much better position than the Cubs. Keep in mind, the White Sox 35-38, and although they are near the bottom in the AL Central, they're only 4.5 games out of first place in that division led by Kansas City. So, I mean, if the Sox could put together a good run here in these days to come, watch out, because they could end up just taking that division lead. Tonight, the Sox play at 7:10 Central Time. The Sox have Hector Nowesi toeing the rubber, 2-5 record, 5.37 ERA, versus Ricky Nolasco of the Twins, who is 4-5 with a 5.66 ERA. So, judging by the statistics here, look for a hitters-friendly game tonight. As far as the White Sox and news goes, I'd like to say that Jose Abreu has taken the league by storm this year, and he is second in the AL with 21 home runs. He is doing quite a job there on the South Side. I just wanted to say that. And, you know, watch out for him. He could end up being an all-star selection. So, I mean, hopefully that will actually end up happening. Another big news story here is that Nate Jones is actually possibly could make a return to the 2014 season. He went under he underwent a microdiscectomy in May to correct ongoing back issues leading to hip pain. But a good sign in Jones' recovery is that he has joined the White Sox for their three-city, 11-game road trip to continue his rehab work. So good for him. I mean, this guy was a very good fastball thrower and an effective closer who was supposed to take over the role this year for the Sox. He had a good April and then just sort of had that surgery for his back and for his hip, and now he's sort of out, but now according to Sox GM Rick Hahn, he could actually make an appearance again before the end of the season. So good and promising news coming from the White Sox. Now we're going to move on to the World Cup, the 2014 World Cup, that is being held this year in Brazil, as many of you have noticed. And there have been some big current upsets I'd like to tell you about. First of all, Spain has been actually eliminated from the knockout round, and they are done, actually. The Spanish team has lost two games to Chile and the Netherlands to be kicked out. And keep in mind, Spain is the reigning champion of the World Cup, and now they're not even going to make it in to that knockout round. Other teams already eliminated, including Cameroon, Australia, and England. Another surprise team there. England, a favorite to, you know, make it at least into the knockout round. Instead, they're going to be watching from home back in England. As far as the U.S. go, they are in a very good position. They started off beating Ghana 2-1, and they are now 1-0-0. They have 3 points, tied atop the division of Group G with Germany. Keep in mind, the U.S. faces Portugal, and that is going to be a very tough game for them. And they still have to yet face Germany. So the odds of the U.S. making it are not in their favor, let's put it that way. But as long as they can win one of these next two games, they have a very good chance of making it in. Another team to watch out for during this the rest of the World Cup is watch out for Argentina as well as Brazil, the actual host squad. Brazil and Mexico tied atop their division in Group A, both with 4 points, and Argentina leads their group F, by 2 points over Iran. So just the World Cup, but always like to watch those games. They're very exciting. If you get a chance to witness a World Cup game, like the game between Brazil and Mexico, that game ended in a 0-0 tie. So, I mean, crazy stuff. Some great games being played, including the U.S. plays on Sunday against Portugal. That is going to be a big game and a big exciting game to watch. So make sure to check that out when you get a chance. We're going to move on now to our final closing segment, starting off with the odd news story segment. And the cool thing about this story is that it happened right here in Rockford, Illinois. Andrew Cohen set a record score of 280 by bowling backwards. He notched 10 straight strikes at one point, according to RecordCenter.com in its March 26th YouTube posting. He completed the feat at Don Carter Lanes in Rockford, Illinois. Can you believe that? You know, I could barely score 150, maybe 200 on a good day. This guy scored a near perfect game bowling backwards the entire time. So just crazy, crazy sports story. And that is our weird sports story of the day. Now we are going to move on to our punchline of the day segment. Always have some funny and even corny joke for you here. And I got something here that has to do with a carpenter and a volleyball. So here's the question. What does a carpenter have in common with a volleyball player? The answer, they both like to hammer spikes. And then that was our punchline. That was actually, kind of a witty joke there. Pretty funny. So now we're going to move on to our famed Announcer's Call of the Day segment. So let me just set the scene, set a little mood for you here. Right now, it is September 24th of 2013. This is a call by Tom Hamilton. It's the Indians versus the White Sox. Jason Giambi is a pinch hitter who comes up to the plate here, facing Addison Reed, the closer of the White Sox. It's a 4-3 game. Runner on second base. Remember, a home run here will actually give the Indians the walk-off win. And what another great call there by Tom Hamilton. Also, keep in mind how big that home run was. Remember, last year, the Indians were fighting for that last wild card spot, and that win lifted them into that precious playoff spot. So, just a great call, a great play. Everything really went well there in that whole sequence. So that'll be it for us today on Sports Talk Chicago. Keep in mind that keep, coming out of the website, keep looking for brand new news and articles now that we are on fully back and ready to go for you. We will have more updates as well on the World Cup. We will try and sneak in a podcast next week as well. We're going to try and stay on back to our weekly schedule. So make sure to come over, check it out, keep, coming out of the site and looking. Also, I just wanted to point out that we are starting to run ads at the bottom of the website. So if you see those, I just wanted to let you know that that is what is going to be happening, starting actually right now. Anyways, thank you for listening. I very much appreciate it as always. Remember, follow us on Twitter at ShyTalkSports. And remember, share this on your own. We have, you could share this post with other people, text it, send the links to people. And finally, make sure to subscribe to the website so that way you can get this podcast into your email next time. And any other article that we do, a new upload, anything, will go right to your email and it'll give you the link. Thank you for listening. I'm John Zaglul, and this is Sports Talk Chicago.